So I go to see the movie Hereafter. You know, the new movie out right now with Matt Damon, and it's about people that experience either dying or almost dying and seeing the other side and the search for certainty. As I sat there in the theater, my mind goes back to the day I stood next to my grandmother in the hospital. She'd been there. She'd already had 3 heart attacks. They'd brought her back by shocking her with those paddles. As I watched her and talked with her each time afterwards, she reached over to me without any fear, without any fright at all in her eyes, in her face, in her speech. She tells me to wear my coat. She tells me to take care of myself. She pats me on the side of my face. And then my grandmother left. Well, she died. Gonna tell you the whole story towards the end. Watching the movie yesterday in that theater, it was slow, it's somewhat boring along the way for some, but the interaction between the people, the lady that is drowned in the tsunami and experiences some kind of seeing on to the other side. There's people over there, there's something over there, and it changes her life. There's a little boy, he's a twin, his brother is killed in a car accident, and he wants to, listen, his whole life is sad, his whole life is depressed, and he wants to see his brother. It was very painful for this little boy, and this little boy, in search of his brother, finds the psychic, finds the reader of the dead, begging him, waiting and wanting so badly, the longing to see those on the other side, the longing to see. Listen, that's part of what this movie reminds me of, is real life, what's really going on, what's really happening out there. As I sat there and watched the entire movie, I was, concerned the demonstration of anything that would have been, anything of God's biblical revelation of real eternity was literally obscured. It's really kind of just a search in the dark. A search in the dark for the afterlife. I don't know where you are right now with your life. I know those that are dying. I know that as I stood there in that hospital many times with many people over the years, they're dying and about to die. I've been there again and again and again. They're dying and they're about to die. I have watched. I have listened. I have seen what they've said they've seen on the other side before they've left. I watched my grandmother with fearlessness leave here and go. She had total expectation. How about you? She knew. I'm going to tell you how towards the end of this broadcast. I think that dealing with life, death, dying, and the afterlife is a vital thing. And the movie Hereafter does, you know, cause an individual to see. Now, I know a lot of psychics and many others and readers of the dead may go to see this, and I can just see them complaining about how they've been portrayed. But the issue is whether or not the dead just stand mulling around, whether the dead can simply be called upon and contacted to come back and talk through somebody else. Why can't they just come to the person that is seeking them? They got to go through a channel. They got to go through a medium. They got to go through a reader of the dead. And let's ask the question, what happens when you do die? All the billions of people, listen, are they just standing around, mulling around? I mean, that's kind of what was portrayed. They're just out there standing around and walking around. And where are they? I mean, those who have died, you know, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, are they just mulling around? Are they here walking around among us, waiting for somebody to seek them? Is Houdini still really out there? Did he ever really knock 3 times and let anybody know about the afterlife? I mean, the afterlife is very important because we all die. We all live this life in conflict, in complexity, and with all the issues of life, and the physical issues, and the diseases, and the wars, and the murder, and the car accidents, and the drownings. Bottom line is, we all die. whether it's my grandmother, 80 years old, or whether it's an 8-year-old boy running out in the street getting run over by a car. The movie, Hereafter, does cause you to think. It is about the dead. It is about the living. But it's also about searching for answers, clarity. I mean, even when this woman, reporter, anchor woman, engaged in dying, sees the other side, comes back, changes her life, she ends up leaving all of her career in order to go search for information about the other side and eventually write a book about her experience. But her book, selling there in the big book publishing places, well, I tell you what, again, there's just as many questions and hardly any answers. Maybe that's where you're at, questioning, thinking through. Listen, I wonder by God's providence whether someone who is literally dying, you know you're dying, we're all dying, but you've been told you're dying. My mother, when I contact her and talk with her in the last number of times, all in the last couple of years, she's waiting to die. Yeah, she looks at the OBs. She knows about all those who have passed on before her. She's read books on funerals and dying and death. She's explained that she wants to go. When I've called her before, she just at times tells me that she's thinking about leaving, about going, about getting out of here. She'd love to. She'd absolutely love to. So day by day by day, is that what we do when we are 78 or 88 and we're not feeling good and we can't walk as good and we can't see as good and our body is simply wearing down, wasting away? The death code inside, some reason why our genetic, we cannot replenish and we do not stay alive. Death is very normal in the sense that it occurs, that it happens. But it doesn't seem like anybody likes it. As a matter of fact, there's something about death that, God calls it an intrusion, an enemy. Literally, death in the human experience is an enemy. Genesis chapter 2, chapter 1. You can see it all there. God warns, don't cross the line. Don't listen to the deceit. Don't walk away from the majesty, the eternal existence. Don't walk away. But we did. The wages of sin is death. Death is experienced now. Since the day of the fall of the human race, you check it out in the Hebrew, God said, listen, if you do that, in dying, you will die. You check it out. It says the wages of sin is death. You check it out. Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about the psychology of death. It comes from a spiritual presence. And the reason that God became flesh, the reason that Christ came among us, was to destroy the one that held the power of death over fallen humanity. There is a battle about this issue of death. There was a coming into the world and a conquering. I don't know if you know much about the cross and what occurred there, but it is the most explosive spiritual experience, gateway, occurrence, provision ever confronting humankind. It deals with sin, it deals with death, it deals with Satan, it deals with eternity, it deals with separation from God, it deals with our own internal lostness. Our spirit being dead to God. You and I as human beings not being what we were meant to be in the beginning. We are approached by God. I don't think we know how far we have actually fallen. I don't think we know how damaged we really are. Seeing the movie, or anybody thinking about the hereafter, those that talk about reincarnation, those that talk about going to the light, those that talk about going to the beyond, those that say there's something over there, atheists, angry ones lately, tell me that there's nothing there. Even in the movie, one of the guys, a French, well, he's the television director. His response to death and dying is, we die. That's it. Zip, boop, bop, we out of here. There's nothing more. Yet there's something in the book of Ecclesiastes that speaks and echoes what the sense is on the inside of man. When God says, listen now, when God says, the word of God says that God has set eternity in our hearts and we cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Something about it inside of us. Death is an enemy. Death is scary. Death is an intrusion. Death is messy. I mean, a body dies. The human spirit leaves. The body decays. It's put into a casket. It's put into the ground. Thousands of dollars. We wave goodbye. We can't talk. And yet there are those that would say they can talk with the dead. The movie represents what I've seen on the field again and again and again. Is it really the dead just mulling around? Really the dead just standing around saying, you know, that they want to say a few things and say a few words and finalize a few issues? Is it that we seek the dead or the dead seek us? Or is it demonic deception, those entities that know what it is we long for? Know what to use to reel us in? Is it one of those lures? Why is it that when those who are seeking the dead, going to the mediums, hearing about the dead, they're drawn further and further and deeper into spiritism, occultism, and further away from God? Why is it that the mediums and the psychics can speak of no personal joy, experience of knowing God and pointing to God's answer? Why is it the scripture, Christ, the writers, there is a clarity about death and dying. There is a clarity about where we go, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Stephen dying in the book of Acts, he instantly, in dying, his spirit is going to go right before the Lord. He is even shown a vision while they're killing him of Christ, right hand of majesty, that immeasurable, infinite, eternal, that immortal unity in the Godhead. There's seven words or seven statements or seven teachings that Jesus gives that literally nobody else can speak, nobody else can give. It's just his words. There's none like them, and we're going to talk about those in a moment. Let me tell you about the parable. In watching the movie Hereafter, I'm looking at a parable in the scripture. The parable's pretty amazing. It's about the rich man and Lazarus. You ever read this one? It's in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell at the rich man's table. Isn't that the epitome of life? The haves, the have-nots? Isn't that what it's all about right now, what's going on in life? So many things that shock us, depress us. There's bits and pieces of happiness and all the complexities included. There's the rich, there's the poor, there's the well-off, there's the diseased and dying. Yet the scripture is very clear. We all end up at that gateway, that line. The wages of sin is death. We all die. In verse 22, chapter 16, Luke's gospel, it says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels. That's right. Angels carried him to Abraham's side. Abraham, long dead, but alive, God's not the God of the dead. God's the God of the living. Abraham's already there. Been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And angels come and carry, listen to the words, beggar died. Angels carried him. Not a part of him, not a fading piece of him, but him. Carried him to Abraham's side. Now listen, the rich man also died and was buried, just like all of us. Someday, someplace. I mean, go ahead sometime, stop by the funeral place, or maybe when you go to visit a funeral, and you walk up to the casket, and you look in, and just for a moment, think in terms of you. Some people have picked out the dress or the suit that they want. Some have already dealt with all those issues, and they've got the casket, the color, the handles, everything about it's all done, is it? Are you prepared to die? Are you prepared to go? If you die, you just pop out of your body and, you know, walk around with all the other people? Thousands, millions, millions and millions of others, we just mull around, waiting for somebody to kind of go to the crystal ball and call us back for a little conversation? Or someone to say, go into the light, go into the light. What light are you talking about? I mean, Satan, per se, you know, he presents himself as an angel of light. What light, dear psychic, dear medium, dear reader of the dead, are you talking about? What are you talking about? So in all of this, hereafter, the story that Christ tells, verse 23, here's the words, in hell where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire. You see, there are those that will say, well, God doesn't send us to hell. There's no hell. It couldn't be that way. Though your sins stick to you unless forgiven. Though you and I that spit in the face of God and threw God to the side and embraced a dark presence and the sin that ripped him from his original position ripped us from our original position. We can sit here and all of our sin, in all of our damaging of ourselves and others, of all the ways that we as mankind destroy life and destroy humanity, we can sit here and charge God with unfairness. Can I ask you, can you forgive your own sin? Can you take care of the issue? Can you take care of the issue of death? Do you know? Can you, by your finite self, produce, well, eternity? The total healing of yourself. A new glorified, immortal, indestructible, eternal body. Can you produce that? Transhumanism? I don't think so. Transmutation? No. Spiritual evolution that leads to homo deity from the fallen cherub through all of these dark, finite, spirit-inspired, spiritual and religious movements throughout fallen humanity? It's never occurred. Like the movie, billions still are groping around in the dark. What happens? We live our lives. We got to go to work. We got to do the stuff. Everything else goes on. We go to the funeral. See, I've been to a couple of hundred funerals in being a pastor and going and speaking to the crowd that is waiting there when the dead body is in the casket and it's all made up and the people are there weeping and crying. There was one time there was an individual that threw themselves over top the casket weeping and weeping over their dad in the box, dead, can't talk, can't move, can't speak, gonna be buried. Number of things true about this story, the parable, Luke 16. You ought to check it out. See, verse 26 says, "And besides all this, between us and you, two sides on the other side." See, there's two sides here, really. Either you know God, either you have the presence and power and grace and love of God, either you really want the God that loves you, that searches for you, even maybe in this moment, or you don't. Your choice here does determine there. Now, Abraham says there's a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, and nor can anyone cross over from there to us. See the picture here? I mean, really, do you see the picture here? The clarity is that it is fixed. It is absolutely fixed. I mean, if we're going to talk about reality, let's go over some of the statements and the words of Christ, because ultimately, it's not about, I mean, listen, if you want to pitch yourself as a psychic, a medium, a reader of the dead against Christ, the revelation of the Spirit of God in Scripture, if you want to pit uncertainty against crystal clear certainty, if you don't know Christ, let me at least say the cross was all about crystal clarity. The other side, destiny, life, eternity, living forever. It was all about no more sin, no more disease, no more evil, no more demons, no more pain, no more tears, no more death and dying. See, something so vast, so big, so broad occurred at that cross. When examined in every single way and compared in every single way, there is nothing like what occurred there. The words of Christ, can I give you seven of them? Seven of them that speak clearly, definitively, that there simply is. It's not about even comparisons. It's about reality. It's about truth. It's about what God says, what God does. To know the depths of God, you have to look at Christ, and specifically at the cross. You see, the facts were both these individuals that died, they're alive. Crystal clarity, they're both alive. That's fact number one. Fact number two, they can't cross over. Either way, a great chasm. Did man make that? No. Did spirits make that? No. God, infinite, eternal, uncreated God. In the context of this issue of death, dying, sin, devil, even the end of the age. Fact one, they were alive. Fact two, a great chasm. They couldn't cross over. Fact three, their destinies were fixed. No second chances. Fact four, Lazarus knew who he was embraced by, comforted by. The rich man also now knows and is experiencing, well, the underside. He's experiencing what he doesn't want to. He's experiencing what maybe as some today do, avoid even thinking about it all their lives, live selfishly and for themselves, push God's Spirit away, grace away, mercy away, though God's grace and mercy dances with you, trying to draw you in to life. Well, there's somebody else trying to draw you away from that. And that dark presence and those spirits collectively, in a unified sense, they'll give you anything and everything you want. They'll let Aunt Betsy come. They'll let Uncle Joe come. They'll let Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad and boys and kids. Oh, if anybody knows how to speak like and act like, they do. The readers of the dead as in the movie, don't have final answers. They don't have clarity. They don't have crystal. I'm going to tell you right now in the context of this message that what occurs when it comes to eternity, living forever, where we go, all that is going to happen, there is an objective outside word that involves just teaching, instruction. It involves examples and parables. It involves prophetic pictures. It involves the outside objective word of God unveiled in many different ways. And it includes, though, when a person comes to know Christ and the Spirit of God comes into your life, the Spirit of God brings all of the work of Christ, forgiveness, His love, His grace, His empowerment, the living presence of Jesus, a relationship to God known, and there is an indwelling presence that bears witness. You read about this in Romans 8 all you want. It is about the presence of the Spirit of God on the inside witnessing to what the Word of God on the outside says. The words on the outside, you read it in 1 John chapter 5. It's simply about those who believe in the name of the Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is very clear that they have life. They have life. As a matter of fact, it says, as the Spirit of God writing it, brings it to those of you who are believers, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you might know. Gnosko is the Greek word, experientially, inwardly, you know that 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 you have eternal life. As a believer in Jesus with the gift of the Spirit of God, based on nothing you've done, but a gift of God based on the cross, dwelling within, the gift of Omnion Zoe, eternal life. It involves indestructible immortality. It's irrevocable. You can read about the coming occurrence of glorification, 1 Corinthians 15. And it will be a comfort. It will be an incredible comfort to read about it. But let me tell you the seven statements. As you take a backdrop to all of this, Luke 16, I cannot help but to let you hear the words of Jesus. After he tells them, you know, in this story very clearly, and don't forget, well, we'll tell you in the seven points, the one that came from eternity, into time and space, now here to provide the gift of eternity. He's the one speaking. Verse 27, he answered. This is the rich man now. Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. The rich man, lost forever now, is begging the ones on the other side of the chasm, safe, secure, eternal. You know what he's wanting? He's wanting Father Abraham, he's wanting that side to send the dead back to warn the rest of the family. Now the rich man, all he cares about, not his riches, all of that is blown out the windows. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? So now we have this incredible, absolutely incredible statement. He wants the dead to go back and warn the living about the afterlife, about the hereafter. Answer comes. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. At that point in history, having only the Old Testament, the content, living words of God, the clarity about afterlife, the clarity of God warning, the clarity about what we've done to lose it all, the clarity. absolutely vital. Verse 30, no. Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Listen to the words, verse 30, but if someone from the dead, if someone from the dead, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. The other side answers. He said to him, if they do not listen, literally, to the word of the living God, if they do not listen to the living words of God, the eternal God, the immortal God, the God of life, the God of redemption, the God that gives the gift of eternity, if they do not listen, here's the words of God, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. There are some people so hard. I pray to God that is not you. So hard, so cold, so hardened. They will spit in the face of God all the way to death, and while they die in bitterness with no answer and only anger and sin, like the rich man. Oh, afterwards they're going to be alive. They can't cross over. Their destiny is fixed. They will then know. And by God's providence, if you are in your background, agnostic, atheist, Luciferian, Satanist, whatever, someone that just is convinced by the world and by the philosophies of man and by the deception spiritually that is out there, be angry at your sin. Be angry at the devil. Be angry at humankind for sinning. Be angry at the human race and yourself included, for the wages of your sin is death. You brought this on. I brought this on. Read it again, Romans chapter 5. You know, by one man's sin, death entered the world. It was an invasion. It was an intrusion. Never meant. God warned. Then it talks about in that one little verse how death passed to all, and it still does, because all, including you, have sinned. What is the way out? In the movie, there is no way out. There is only more and more questions. There is only more and more sadness. There is only more and more depression. There is only more and more of all of that. So the question really is, what do you know for sure? Here's the seven statements I want to bring to you, the seven simple statements that I want to bring to you. I think that you can compare this if you're a seeker, a searcher, but I'm speaking to you as one who inside the Spirit of God I've known for 36 years. What will happen when I die? I'm not a seeker of that issue. I'm someone that enjoys the internal witness of the Spirit of life, the eternal Spirit of God, because of what the living Christ, my Savior, has done. The Word of God is clear, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know what will happen to me the moment I die. I know. To see the face of God, to embrace, be embraced, the absence of fear, the absence of pain, the absence of disease, the absence of ever going to hell, of ever losing. And what comes after 1 second in heaven is so massive, so awesome, so incredible. Please understand, you can know it. You could know it by the Word of God, by the examples, by all that has been revealed, shown, spoken in experiences, in parables, in statements, instructions, and then internally. See, the Gospel of John is where you really need to go if you want some clarity in this day of spiritual confusion and alternatives. Here are the seven words, or the seven, seven realities out of the Gospel of John, the rest of the Gospels. Number one, when it comes to Christ, it's where he came from. He comes from eternity. He's called the Eternal One. You know, that, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Imperfect tense in the Greek, always has been, always will be. He comes out of eternity, out of immortality, out of, and then into. Now, you could read about that in the first chapter where God, the Word, becomes flesh and dwells for a while among us. God has entered in. And he's called in this chapter the light of the world. He's the creator, and it's the creator now coming in as redeemer. He's coming to seek and to save that which is lost, you, I, all of humanity. This is God coming for all of us. Nobody wants you more. Nobody loves you more. And there's no one that can speak the words that he speaks. There's a story that goes on concerning Jesus and his encounter with religious Pharisees and man-made, cult-oriented religious mumbo-jumbo that goes on in life. Jesus one time responds and says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, in saying that, it's very clear. He's saying, "I am Yahweh. I am God. I am God in human flesh now. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm the eternal one, and now I am here in eternal, in temporary flesh." This is Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah sees the pre-existent Christ in the heavenlies, Yahweh Adonai. It tells you in the Gospel of John who it was that Isaiah saw, Christ. Pre-incarnate. It is very clear in all of the New Testament teachings that Christ is eternal, he is God, and he has entered into human flesh and blood. And I hope that you will just look up the book of Hebrews chapter 2 concerning why he came, to destroy the one that holds the power of death. Jesus comes to taste death for all of us, conquering it, breaking the issue of sin, Satan, and the hold of death. Number two, he says one time to the crowd, "Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He knew exactly what was going to happen. 1,000 years in advance, Psalm 16 declares the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ, as Oz Guinness, an English writer, says, blasts apart the finality of death. Only Jesus could say, "Hey, tear it down. Kill this life, but in 3 days, I will raise it up." And surely that's what occurred. That's why he came. In conquering death, it involves not just the sinless one dying for all of us, you, but rising. Blasting apart the finality of death. Offering eternal life. That's why John 3:16, God says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only," monogenesis, the one and only, only begotten, the absolute one of a kind that would be given up, so that anyone that would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Point number three, in that John's Gospel chapter 3, there's a story of a religious man who doesn't know. He doesn't have the answers. He doesn't know about the afterlife. He has no assurance. He comes at night to engage Christ and wants to understand. Here again is the picture. The one that came out of eternity has the answers. The one that came from the heaven, you know, has the answer. And he makes it very clear, in order to enter in, you must be born again. Check out the literal Greek. You must be born from above. There has to be a new birth. That's what salvation is. It is Christ coming in, a new birth exploding in the depths of us. Life. It is the literal living presence of Christ coming in. It is the work of the Spirit of God then to apply the work of the cross, what Jesus did. Forgiveness, his love, freed from satanic powers, totally cleansed, new power within, the living personal Christ within, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal life. And internally, for all those who believe, the Spirit of God witnesses deep within. You read about it, Ephesians chapter 1. The deposit within you is the Spirit of God guaranteeing what is to come. I know that I know that I know. Why? 1 John 5, in the written record, it's written so that we might know, gnosko, that we have crystal clarity. Christ knew who he was, what he came to do, what he did on the cross. Only he could speak the words, number one, I am. I'm God. I'm Yahweh. I am God here in human flesh. I've come to conquer sin, death, the devil, separation. I've come here to redeem, to save. That's why he's called the Savior. Number two, he knew. Tear down this temple. 3 days, I'll raise it up. He knew. He knew. The resurrection was clear. Didn't make it any easier in the actual agony of the death in which he died for you. He shed his blood for you. He became the sin bearer of the world for you and all. And there is none like this. Number three, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. New birth. Do you have that? Do you have the living Christ within, the gift of the Spirit of God within, witnessing inside you what you have? Do you have that? Do you have that? Number four, Jesus says these words. Here's a guy, now another one named Lazarus, that dies, is in the tomb. His sister knows, the others, they know that he stinks by now, that he's decaying. Jesus said, roll away the stone. Only he could. There in the context of this meeting, you have God in human flesh. Jesus wept. It is an emotional, deep-seated weeping. God in human flesh as Redeemer, seeing all the mourners. A human being never meant for the corrosion, corruption, and destruction of death, rotting away on the inside. Who has the power? Who can do this? Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus walks again. Jesus says the words, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Only Jesus. Clarity. Knew who he was, what he came to do. Demonstrated before all. Number five. Jesus hung on the cross, sinless, nailed, bleeding, beaten, mocked. A thief next to him, sinner, lost, deserving, looks over and cries out, acknowledges him as Lord, remember me, turns to him, he knows who he is. Jesus turns back the words of Christ. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Don't forget these words. The living Christ coming from paradise, now on the cross, dying as a sin bearer for all the sins of humanity, is able to minister to one individual right next to him, as he is able to minister to you right here, right now. Wherever you are, the living Christ is speaking through. He's the one dwelling in me. He's the one we proclaim. He's the one we tell you. Absolute certainty. Hereafter. It begins with our engagement. It begins with the realization that we sinned. We screwed it up. We messed it up. We brought in death. We opened the door to the devil. We did it all. How are you going to fix that? You can't. No one's ever been able to. All kinds of pseudo cults and religions and man-made stuff and what the demons give. There's no assurance. Constant seeking, constant searching. Do you know the answer? The readers of the dead, the mediums and the psychics, all that I've engaged over the years, have no clarity. they can't even acknowledge joy in knowing God in a personal way. And I would say to the reader of the dead, I would say to the medium, I would say to the psychic, Jesu Christu, Yahweh Adonai, comes into this world based on the fact, motivated by love for you. No one loves you more. No one wants you more. No one knows you more. You can sell it all for the finite, temporary, deceiving powers that the dark side gives. You can lose your soul. What does it profit a man if he gains all the riches or occult powers, but loses everything in the end? Oh, you'll know. You'll know. But you can't change anything once on that side. It's here, it's now. I pray by the Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Spirit of God that bears witness inside of me all of these years of the love, the comfort, the power, the presence, the life, the eternal life, and what is to come. Today, you will be with me in paradise. There is no one else that can say this. None. Get the words. He has the power to give life. He came from there, hanging on the cross. He speaks the word to a dying sinner that turns to him and recognizes him. This dying sinner can't do anything. The gift of salvation. Gift of God, grace of God. God wants you to have it. And if you have it, to grow into the depths of it, to know by the living words of God that feed, by the Spirit of God that wells up from within, communicating the same message. Number 6, only Jesus can say on that cross, the same cross where he told the man, today you will be with me in paradise. The same man. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would say to the psychic, the reader of the dead, I would say to those thinking that they've got a touch, but realize that you don't know. You don't even know God. You don't even know about the hereafter for yourself. But God wants you to. That Savior that died on the cross is telling you, calling on you, give up what you cannot keep. Give up what cannot save you. Give up what distracts you and holds you to death, to sin, and to Satan. And embrace the Savior. Paradise given by him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No one's ever spoken those words but Christ. God in human flesh at the cross. Number seven. You ever read John's Gospel, chapter 14? You ever read this incredible, massive document about God entering into time and space, taking on humanity, God the infinite, immeasurable, God eternal, immortal, in human flesh, to be near us, to come for us. He came to bring a war on Satan, on death, on sin, on separation from God. Jesus says the words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one else has been sent from the Father. Now, you could read the Gospel of John and see all of these statements and all of this incredible revelation. They are living words. God is in the words. It's not the dead that has convinced anybody. Readers of the dead, those who think they have heard from dead relatives, none of them have assurance. Not the way that God can give and the Spirit of God can give. The seventh, John's Gospel 14, you ever read these words? But he says, don't fear. Jesus tells us that he's going to prepare a place. Isn't that amazing? That even in the beauty of heaven, the eternality of heaven, the immensity of heaven, in what Christ did at the cross, in providing the crystal clear door into relationship with God, the issues being forgiven and healed, and well, everything being taken care of. He now, the same one that came to die on the cross for us, he, God in human flesh, Christ, goes to prepare a place. I go to prepare a place for you. Have you ever read this? Here's where we get into the sense of, well, the heart of God. This is when we get into the heart of God. This is where he knows the psychology of sin, death, dying, Satan, all the junk that we open the door to. The words of Christ, John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many, well, mansions is the old English. If it were not so, I would have told you. See the clarity? I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Have you heard these words? Have you read this? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. It's amazing words. No one else could speak them. No one else has. No one else can. It's because of who he is. It's because of what he has done. It is because of his love. The issues of separation from God, uncertainty, death, dying, errors, lies, Satan, the afterlife, the hereafter. If anybody knows, it's God outside of time, beyond time, in time, and coming again. You see, I know this inside. I have the joy of it. I live with the crystal clarity of Christ returning, of the mortal putting on immortality in the twinkling of an eye, in the flash. The physics of God. I read the words in Philippians chapter 3 that when Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ, returns, my lowly body, a transformation will occur. It will be made like his glorious body. Every believer inside the Spirit of God will witness this to you. Outside, the Word of God is crystal clear. You will see his face. You will see his face. You will be embraced. You'll be in a glorified, immortal, indestructible, irrevocable body. You will experience seeing the angels of God, all the others. You will see God face to face. Even then, he wipes away every tear. Embraced by the living Christ, out of eternity, into time and space, provision. Only the eternal God can give eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, come to Christ, receive him as Lord and Savior. Throw off everything else, receive him as Lord and Savior. Throw off all that God says and receive him as Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God will come in. All that he's promised will come in. God so loved you, he gave Christ there on the cross, dying for you, that you wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. Write to us. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. Right-hand side, scroll down, contact information. If you've received Christ as Lord and Savior, share the joy. Write to me. Let us give you materials free to help you. This is Russ Dizdar. shatterthedarkness.net.